Wonderful song service this morning for that song. If you'll have that song ready for the invitation, again, that God does change your mind on that song. And you'll see why in a few minutes, according to the message God has given me. God is such an arranger of everything, is he not? We bless and praise his holy name. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. And while you're turning, there is a message this morning on their church phone that says, tonight at 7 o'clock, the city, the county, whoever it is, will be flushing our city water that we have here at church system. So it will be unsafe to drink. So we'll have signs on the water fountains at 7 o'clock tonight, do not drink this water. Makes you want to appreciate water, doesn't it? Sometimes God arranges things like that. You don't really, if you're like me, appreciate good health until you don't have it. And then you start thinking back. And we all have to agree we don't really appreciate having electricity and power until we don't have it. And then you thank God. So God arranges things and he is perfect. We'll see that in the message this morning. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, I want to speak to you this morning on the thought, God's guidance as he accomplishes his purpose. We'll notice God's guidance on display. He gives this whole chapter to tell us the details about something that you would think would not be very significant in one way, but in another way, it is very significant. God has to arrange your life and mine because he has something in mind at the end of the journey, salvation, and he will accomplish. He had that mind when he sent his son Jesus. In fact, he had that in his mind before he created the world. God realized that man would sin. Man did not have to sin. He did not have the necessity of sinning, but God knew that he would. It's interesting as we study this particular passage and more that God has a will, he has a way, but he lets man have his choice also. But the end result is, am I not on, my brother? Okay. Thank you, my brother. Does that mean you didn't hear what I said? Thank you, John, for doing that. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here this morning and to come before him in thanksgiving for every good and perfect gift. He is the giver of all gifts. In the 1 Samuel division, chapter 9, we see how God has arranged our life, and we see God's guidance on display in every facet of our life. Let's read some of the text together. First of all, we go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The end goal in mind for God when he arranges all these things is what he set out to do. In this case, he set out to let Saul meet a prophet, Samuel, and the anointing that God would give on Saul's life for his nation Israel. God has his nation in mind. God has you in mind. He has me in mind. So he accomplishes that. It's on display as he guides our life daily, all the situations that occur. You say, well, I don't necessarily believe that. Well, here's some scripture that will make you believe it. You don't have a choice and believe in what God said. Jeremiah 1, 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah speaking, and God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It's very clear from this passage and others that God has predetermined, preordained you and I for this journey that we have. The end result, to bring glory and honor to his name. We see how he accomplishes that. Let's go back another. And God uses simplistic things so many times. Remember the story of Naaman? Naaman was that leper. And not Israel, who is another nation. And God arranged to have a little slave girl from Israel be there to wait on him. And he had leprosy. And God wanted to show you and I that he can cure leprosy. Sin is like a disease of leprosy in a way. It destroys, it consumes. And she said, I would to God that he would go to my land. There's a prophet of God there that could do something about this. So he used that little slave girl in the household of Naaman to send him to Elijah, and there was a cleansing took place. So many other. Remember in the book of Esther, a little Israeli girl ended up there in the country of Iran, a little Iranian girl in that nation, and now God used Esther to spare the whole nation Israel that was going to be consumed and killed. God uses little things, and you may see insignificant things. And as I was studying this, I was going to, if I'd been here last Sunday, I had a terrible cough, and God arranged that. Did God permit that? Oh, yes. My own doings, no doubt. I did something, caught from somebody, or did something. I caught a cold, and God used that to have a great message Brother Gunn gave to you. That was God's timing. I would have preached this message, but that wasn't God's timing. He is the arranger of everything. And then I was thinking about my own life, going back to my heritage, as far as I know, very insignificant maybe, but God had it arranged all along. The three brothers, as I understand, from Ireland came over here, and they scattered out through the mountains of western North Carolina. One of them married an Indian girl, a little Cherokee. And then on my grandmother's side, my grandfather's side, they were from Scotland. So God had rearranged and everything. And then, of course, I met my wife. And God had all these arrangements in mind. And you are a result of God's arranging this morning. We already saw the text. God knew us before we were ever formed in our mother. And God has end result that he wants you and I to bring glory and honor to his name. We see here in our text that Israel has rejected God, and they have went to the prophet Samuel and said, give us a king. And it displeased Samuel. It displeased God. God is your king. And today, God wants to be our Savior and our Lord. And we want that because we want to go to heaven. Without him, we're not going to heaven, we're going to hell. But seemingly, at the same time we belong to God, there's a part of man that wants the world, wants to serve the world, wants to be like the world. And Israel said, we want a king like the world's got kings. God will give you the desires of your heart. But he'll let you know in the meantime that you're rejecting him. And he told Samuel, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me. They were his people. And we are the redeemed of the Lord if we're saved, and we're his people. But so many times we don't want God's direction. We don't want his arrangements. Once we get saved, we want to be like the world, act like the world, do like the world. Let's look at the text together. And there's about four things I'd like to bring out and let God bring out to us this morning. First of all, we see in the text that God chooses whom he will. Verse 1, chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorath, the son of Apheth, a Benjaminite, a mighty man of valor, of power. So God had chosen now Saul, the smallest tribe. That God doesn't need the big things. He chose him from the smallest tribe, Benjamin. But yet he was a mighty man in God's sight. His father was. So God does the choosing. God chose for you. He chose for me. He chose this place of worship for us. Think about how God got you in this place of worship. I go back and see how God arranged my life to get me here. God has used so many different things, and you and I couldn't even think of all the ways in the past how God has worked in your life, and the end result is right now we're here. God placed us here. But the end result is to bring glory and honor to God. That's what he wants. And he'll work out his way and his will in their life to accomplish such things. So we see from the text that God chooses whom he will. And then we look at the situation and we see that God controls all of his creation. His father, Saul's father, had some asses, the Bible calls them, they're donkeys. And he used those and he controlled those and he told those donkeys, leave and get lost. Would God do that? Not only would he, but he did. Why did he do that? We're going to see that God controls all animal life. So his father, Saul's father, said, now those are important to me. So he sent him and his helpmate to go out and find those. And they looked all over, seemingly, the tribe of Benjamin. They looked all over the territory. They spent 3 days looking for lost donkeys. And God kept them hid. Why? Because he had an arrangement he was going to make to get in this arrangement him to somebody to accomplish his purpose. And in my life and yours, you think you might be in 3 days. Isn't that interesting? That he was out there looking for those 3 days. And that's how long Jesus spent in the heart of the earth in the tomb. And then we find that later on that they were found. And it was troubling him all the time. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Not only did he choose and he controls all his creation, but I want to look next at how God conducts and how God creates the conditions. It was God that created this condition that got Saul out roaming, because the end result was he wanted to have him anointed king. Now, could God have done it differently? Of course he could. Could God have rearranged your life and mine in a different manner to get us to the cross? And I remember I was 12 years old when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Been in church all my life, but he arranged that day a message that was preached that gripped my heart and stirred my heart. It had already been gripping on it, but that day was God's day. And this is God's day for you. God's timing is perfect. You can't even imagine all the conditions he prearranged in their life to get us to this point right here. Now, we don't know the future, but God does. But let's keep in mind that since he controls all of creation, and since he chooses what he wants to choose to bring glory to his name, he chooses and he lays out a foundation for everyone. Nations, all powers and authorities are ordained by God. It's not happenstance that we have a president we have. It's not in happenstance that we had the last president that we had. You can't figure all that, but sometimes God gives people what they want, and that's not the best thing for their life. We see how God controls all the conditions, and God arranges it all, but in this chapter we see how he was told by God to tell the people what a mess they're getting into. If they reject me, then this man's going to be a ruler. The king's going to take your sons, your daughters. He's going to charge you taxes. He's going to do for you. And it would be better if you would just have me as your king. And the Lord is telling you now today, we can choose the world's goods and we can choose the world's way. But if we're saved by the grace of God, we're children of the king. It would be better to let him rule in their life and reign, rather than have to live in the conditions and let someone else be over us. They have a choice, and they chose to have a king. And God told them ahead of time all the conditions that would exist if they chose this king. It wasn't very good. Let's look at some of these conditions. And the Bible says that he's going to let that king rule over them in a way they didn't want to rule, and God would chastise them. And if this king would not obey God, he would chastise the whole nation because of that. God always has meant what he said and said what he meant. I want to look at the next point, how God not only conditions and how God controls all of creation, but let's look at how God coordinates all these things. Here we have a man of God, and as they're out wandering, they've been looking 3 days for these lost donkeys. God's kept them lost. And finally, Saul says to his helper, "We better go back home because my dad's going to be worried about us more than he's worried about the donkeys. He will end up sending out a search party for us." And don't you realize that when you and I get out of the will of God and search for something that we ought not to be doing, that it troubles and it worries our Heavenly Father? But God is in control of everything. And now God had rearranged every step of the journey, that on the way back home, they're getting very close to a place where the man of God, Samuel, lives. And they had done everything, and it was troubling them that they couldn't do what their father wanted to do. And you and I, when we aren't doing all that we need to be doing, it troubles the Lord. And the servant said, "Will, we are very close to where the man of God is. Wouldn't it be good if we could go by his house? I bet he could give us some advice. Hey, if you get lost in the world and things you lose, things of God are so important. God's place, God's man, God's word will get you the directions you need." And they said, "Well, we can't go there without giving an offering. God expects you and I to bring ourselves. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God." So this morning, when we came to the house of God, we bring our offering, we bring our tithes, but we bring ourselves and we present them. And notice how God coordinates everything. He's coordinated the lost donkeys. He's got them right place now because God's got something else in mind. And God has already spoken to Samuel and saying, "I've got a man coming to you that I have anointed to be king. And I want you to anoint him." Look at the verse of scripture. It really caught my eyes more than perhaps anything else in this chapter. Verse 14, 15, 16. "And they went up into the city, and when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place." And they had wondered. Now, God's coordinating everything. Here they've been lost. They have searched the whole countryside 3 days, haven't found any lost donkeys. But then they saw some women in the city, and they said, "Is this the place where the man of God dwells?" "Yes." "Is he home?" Well, of course, God arranged that too. And they said, "Yeah, just this morning, just today he came back." God's timing is so perfect for your life and mine. This message is for you that's lost and weary and troubled and thinking that God's not in control or interested in anything and everything in your life. He has arranged your life to get you to this point and to tomorrow's point. He is a ranger. So now God has arranged Samuel, but look at the scripture in verse 15. "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying," sometimes God speaks to your heart. He has always spoken to my heart. And it's so clear that I have never had to say, "Repeat, please." I never have heard him stutter. God always speaks directly. But the text said, he spoke in his ear. That means it was a direct communication. God can speak the way he wants to. God can speak directly if he chooses. And one day before this event took place, God already told Samuel what's going to occur. Sometimes there's pitfalls ahead for you and I. Have you ever go back in your life and say, have God ever directed you and changed your course? Maybe you were going on a journey and you had it planned and you had a particular direction you were going, and all of a sudden it just didn't seem right. I have so many instances in my life where I was going here, I was going to do this, and God changed that direction. And one day before, God had told him everything. And God instructs. He plans. He chooses. He orchestrates. He does all these things in their life. And he is in control of all of his creation. And the conditions are set in your life and mine that he speaks to your heart and he may speak to your ear. He never has me, but he spoke directly to Samuel that day. And he said, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come up unto me. One day before, at this time tomorrow. And God makes things so clear when he arranges your life and controls the condition and sets a boundary that you couldn't miss it. You would never have to say, is that God that did that? Oh, he makes it so clear. Would Samuel doubt that this man accidentally came? God told him a day before that this man would come. He told him the purpose of his coming. I want you to anoint him. I have chosen him. The people didn't choose him. I chose him. God is the one that chooses. God is the one that controls. God is the one that has all the conditions set. And if you and I miss it, God will rearrange. And God has a purpose. And the end result is for you and I to bring glory and honor to his name. That we can reach the lost. And God has a purpose that all the world should be saved. That's his goal. Now man has a choice. And a lot of times we don't heed God's voice. And men that don't heed God's voice, God's already told him the conditions. Samuel spent several verses. We don't have time to read them, telling the people, if you choose a king, if you have a king, now I'll do the choosing. But if you want a king, I'll do the choosing. But this king will not be good compared to what I would be for you. You and I have a choice to make every day of our life. Will we let him be the Lord of our life, or will we again go our way? God speaks in our ear, perhaps. He speaks to your heart. But the conditions are so well established by God, what he wants us to do. He said, my house be a house of prayer. He told us that, did he not? And he said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together in the manner of some have. All these things that God has said, that's a condition. Now, we don't have to hearken to that if we don't want to, but the conditions are set. If you'll serve me and honor me, I'll bring glory and bring glory to my name, then I'll bless you. But if you don't, then the blessings will be on the short side. So God's got the conditions set. It's up to you and I to heed those conditions, to follow after God. So this man, now let's see what happens, because God's already set the stage. And when Samuel, verse 17, saw, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake of thee now, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. In those days, the prophets were called the seers. God had directed him to the prophet's house. No mistake about it. The women said, he is here today, just on time. God's always on time. And God already spoke to Samuel and told him what he was up to. And all this rearranging, all traveling all across the nation to find those lost donkeys. Now, God had already taken care of them. And Samuel said to him, don't worry about those donkeys. They've been found. You see, I had this arrangement. I control the donkeys. I could to get you to me. So I could get you to God, so he could anoint you and tell you what he wanted to do in your life. You say, well, that's Saul and that's Samuel, yes. But Jeremiah told us that he knew us before we were reformed. He had a purpose for Jeremiah. He has a purpose for you. If you have children, God's purpose is for you and I to rear them in the house of God. If you have nephews and nieces and their parents don't teach them that, then your job is to do that. God's already determined. He's already said in his word. And if you don't have any family whatsoever and you're saved by the grace of God, God's goal for you and I, already determined, is to be about the Father's business and to seek his face and to pray for those others that are hurting. All these things we need to do. God has arranged it in your life so you can. And there is no excuse. Oh, man, that art without excuse. That's what God told us in his precious word. But as we keep reading these coordinates and these conditions, how God arranges everything, verse 20, and as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. Sometimes we let things trouble us. See, God has a goal for Saul to be anointed king. And something else was troubling him that he couldn't get on his mind about following God. But God sent him a helpmate, a servant that day to go with him. And he was one that reminded him, maybe we ought to go see the seer, the prophet. Maybe we ought to take a gift for him. But Saul's mind was preoccupied and doing something that his father had told him to do. And that was important. But it was so preoccupied on the things of the world, donkeys are of the world, that he did not one time get his mind on the God that was sending him. Isn't that like us so many times? We're so worldly minded a lot of times that we're not too much heavenly good. We got things to do, people to see, places to go. And all these things keep our minds so warped up and so unattentive to the things of God. But now finally we get in contact with the man of God. It says the donkeys you were looking for that you never found, they've been taken care of. God takes care of those needs. All you need to do now is get your mind on him. Good lesson for us. God has arranged our path. And then of course Saul starts making excuses like you and I do so many times. Verse 21. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjaminite of the smallest of a tribe of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speaketh thou so to me? God has got him there. He has arranged his path. The donkeys have been found. No help from him needed. God took care of that. God will take care of all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the end result is we need to get our minds stable and steadfast on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his work. And even when it was appointed him by the prophet of God, what he wanted him to do, he started making excuses. My tribe is the least. There's other tribes bigger. And even if my tribe were significant, I'm the smallest of the whole tribe. How could God use me? Isn't that what we say so many times when God has arranged, he has chosen, he's controlled the circumstances, he controls all of creation, he specifies, and he is telling us that he has created all these conditions for us to get us to the place where we finally realize we belong to him and he's our king. And we're answering to him before we answer to anybody. And then when we come to that fact, sure we are, but what could I do? I'm so insignificant. And that's what Saul had already determined in his heart. But God can change that. Let's see what God does, and we'll be closing. Lord always changes the situation. But look what happens in verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel came in with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. Saul arose. And they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before thee. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may shew thee the word of God. First of all, he had been detained in his thoughts by lost donkeys. And then God got his attention. God sent him there for that reason. Then he made excuses like you and I do. Who am I? God wouldn't use me. God couldn't use me. And then he had his servant on his mind. But God doesn't deal with individuals through other people. He deals directly with them. Send your servant away. He's been helping you. He helped you get to me. But now it's just God and you. And that's what it's come down to this morning. God arranged a condition to get you and I here to hear his word. Would you stand this morning? The message has been preached. Not my message, but God's message for the day. And God has helped you and told you to get every hindering circumstance out of the way. That which you've been worried about has been taken care of. God said it had. And then you've got somebody else in mind that would hinder you. But what would so-and-so think? Send the servant away. It's just you and God now. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. What will you do with the voice of God that has chosen you, selected you, enabled you to be here to take care of all the conditions that are too numerous to mention and we don't even understand them, taking care of all these things to you and I, to this place, to hear his word, that I've chosen you. End result that you're to do is bring honor and glory to my name as your life, bring honor and glory to his name. Are you obedient to what he's told you to do? So what could I do? Just submit yourself to God and let him show you what you can do. Your heads are bound. Come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. This is your time. If you're lost this morning, as those donkeys were lost, God has told you, I arrange your life to get here this morning, so get hear this message, so you could understand that I've controlled everything around you to get you here, so you would repent and let me be your Lord and your Savior. Thank you for singing that beautiful song. Your head's bowed. We pray and listen to this beautiful song. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you have enabled us to show us again that you're the controller. You're the one that has controlled our life up to this point. Yes, we've made mistakes and blunders, but still you've got us here. We've been wandering, many of us, through the whole countryside. But you specified the conditions and caused us to be in the house of God to hear the word of God so you could speak directly to our hearts, not through somebody else, but directly to our hearts. Help us hear and obey what thus saith the Word of God, the Spirit of God to our hearts, as we're mindful that this is your time and we're in submission to you. Help hearts to be tender. Help hearts to search. And as Samuel told Saul, don't let the servant stay here any longer. He would interfere with what I'm doing. A lot of times people will not come to the altar, Lord, because what somebody else might think, they think. Let that be dismissed from their mind. That nobody here thinks about anything else or anybody else except what does God want me to do right now. Help us hear that voice and respond to it in the way you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar is open.
Looking down through the ages, God beheld the dying soul. Sin had brought separation, nevermore could man be whole. There must come a Lamb, one whose blood alone redeems, bringing gifts to the Father of the souls made white and clean. And when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know. So He left that holy city, traveling on to the cross, just to bridge the gulf to glory and to rescue all the lost. By His blood He entered into the throne room of our God, and on the mercy seat He placed it, salvation for us all. And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know.
So many times a lot of us, I'm afraid, are just like Saul, wandering around through the whole countryside looking for something that God's going to take care of anyway, which keeps his mind off the things of God. Then when he was informed, he still didn't want to obey God. The servant was the one that was instrumental in getting him there. But now God got him there and said, okay, everything else is just you and me. And that's the settling up point. There's going to be a judgment. A lot of people there, but the only thing that's important, God and you, God and me. How will it be when we reckon with what God wants us to do, whether or not we followed him, or we've been letting other things like lost donkeys interfere and control our life? But finally, God rearranged to get him to the man of God. And then the voice of God, so clear you couldn't miss it. Thank you for coming. All minds and hearts clear. Look to the Lord for all things. We're going to have the ushers come at this time. We're going to receive an offering for WGCR Share-a-thon. Many of us been listening to it. Many of us already, no doubt, contribute. And that's fine. But today, we can all, if you will, want to, can, contribute. Share-a-thon does a great work for a lot of the people all across the world. You say, I've never listened to it. Be good if you did. It helped me. And God sent it to our neighborhood in our midst. So let's give this offering, and we'll give it to them so they can meet their goal. God's able. Well, Joe, if you come up here, please, and pray at this microphone.
Father God, you know our hearts, you know our minds. We just ask you to declare them, Lord, and that we can only think of you today. Lord, we just ask you to take this offering we're about to receive. May it be a blessing to your kingdom and uprise it in every way. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us all, one another, today and always, Lord, as we lean on you in faith. We ask for your guidance and direction in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
this morning. There will be a quick deacon's meeting after the service this afternoon. And also, they told me, ladies, there was a lost necklace found in the vestibule, as well as some earrings found in the vestibule. So if they're yours, stop by the Miss Becky's office before you leave.
Thank you. You're dismissed. God bless you.